We've attempted to notice the now of the blessing in Christ. This morning we attempted to look at the need of our blessing in Christ. I want to notice with you this afternoon the newness of the blessings we have in Christ. The newness that we have in Christ. Everybody wants something new. New cars, new homes, new clothes. You know, some people want new wives. You know, it goes on and on. But we're all wanting something new. And the blessing is that in Christ we are new. You're very familiar with the passage. It says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The book of Colossians specifically tells us, as well as the book of Ephesians, that we are to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness or holiness. We are to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And this newness is so profound and so amazing and so astounding that it actually gives you a new living. It completely reorients life. It's no longer if you're the president of the football team. I mean, the captain of the football team. It's no longer, are you the song leader in the church? You know, it's no longer if you're the preacher that preaches on Sunday morning at the association. It's that we're new in Christ. If we see what Christ has done, incorporated into the present day living, and we've seen our need of Christ, you will have a new life, and everybody wants a new life. When we get the sense of what Christ has done for us, everything around us changes. This has been prophesied from days gone on. First of all, before we take our text in the Gospel of Matthew, just look at some of these prophecies that speak of our newness. Isaiah 43 and verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. If your life has seemed like a desert, if you've had difficulties, troubles, sorrows, and have not known the way through in this troubled world, he says, Jesus Christ is like a river in a desert. Now that's what Christianity is. And if serving the Lord, going to church, reading your Bible, praying is just dull, dead, and dry, and you really just want to throw it aside and don't know why the old codgers keep doing it, doesn't have anything for the young, you don't even know what Christianity is. You don't even know who Christ is in the sense that it gets to the soul. Because here he says, prophesying of Christ, Christ is actually like to the soul of one who's in need of him, like a river in a desert. Jeremiah chapter 31, he speaks again of this newness, this vitality, if you will, this vigor, this joy that's in Christ. And in Jeremiah 31, verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers when I took them out by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make them make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I put my law in their inward parts, write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They'll not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, and I'll forgive their iniquity and that remember their sin no more. Again, it's a new day. It's a new beginning. It's as if everything around us takes on a different hue because of the majesty, the glory, the wonder of what Christ has done for us. And in Joel chapter 3, in describing this day, he said it shall be a day as when the mountains drop down new wine. It's just so phenomenal that he would actually describe it as a new crop or as that which may invigorate us naturally. He said the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ actually affects us in such a great way. It's as if the mountains are breaking forth with new wine. Now, whether you get a thing out of what I'm going to say, just write it down right now that Christianity, seeing Christ, makes you have a new life. There's an enlivening. There's an invigorating. There's a blessing. There's a settling. There's a joy. There's a richness. The world is no longer dull and drab. And every one of us, all we do is complain, murmur, all in all we go. And there's something far greater than what's happening in the world. There's something far superior than the darkness and the dread and the fear. It's the fact that Christ saved our sinful souls. And when we get that, it is so phenomenal that everything else is not what's bearing us down. It might even keep you awake this afternoon if you got this. So we would hope that would be the case. And again, just before we take our text, and I'm not going to keep you long, let me notice with you the thought this way. Suppose you had a dread disease. And suppose I knew where the cure to that disease was. And suppose I had the what it took financially to secure the medication to take care of your dread disease so you would be healed. But suppose that the price of that medication would require everything you've got. Now, you'd be healed. You'd have life. But it would require everything. You would be healed, but it would require everything. But we know where the medication is. Would you say, I can't give it up. I've got to keep my house. Would you say, I will have my new crew cab. You know, I'm not going to give that up. You know, it's got the nice tonneau cover and, you know, it's got everything just like I want it. Now, I really want to live, but I can't give up my pickup. Something's gone wrong there, right? We really, really don't see the medication and what it'll do. If we once get a grasp of Christ, everything else takes on a different value. For my physical health, for yours, you would give up the house, you'd give up the automobile, you might give up a lot of things. In fact, if you really valued and desired the health, you'd give up anything just to be cured. And so it is, the life that's in Christ, the blessing that we receive in the knowledge of what Christ has done for us, is so profound that everything else takes on a different value. It's Christ that will bring the other, attractions, desires into their proper focus. Well, we take our text in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. Pick up just a couple of verses in the chapter before. Matthew 7, verse 28. And it came to pass, when Jesus ended in these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. And when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper that worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see, thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Leprosy was a dread disease. It was a despicable disease. You were a social outcast if you had leprosy. It was so disfiguring, the stench and the sight of it. It was so contagious that if you had leprosy, you would be put away. You viewed yourself as a non-person, as a person everyone else would look down upon, as a person that really wasn't fit to live. The relationships you once had would never be the same because they would not be able to touch. You could never feel the stroke of a loved one's hand. You would never have the blessing of the embrace of someone else. You were an outcast. You were alone. Society looked down upon you. In fact, you would bring difficulty and trouble and heartache to anyone around you. That's your sin. If we know our sin today, we recognize we're an outcast, we're trouble, and we're a difficulty in the world. But Jesus healed the man with leprosy. And I simply want you to know this afternoon the scope of the work of Christ is so grand it will make even you have a new life. You say, well, how far does that scope go? Again, I'm just going to look at some of these passages quickly this afternoon, and I pray God will add his blessing to you. But let's turn to the book of Colossians again. Book of Colossians chapter 3. If you then be risen with Christ, chapter 3 verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Therefore, he says, mortify your members which are upon the earth. Now, here are the sins. Every one of us this afternoon have some sin, if God has opened our hearts, that we recognize makes us like the leper. We feel to have a stench. We feel like we wouldn't even tell anybody what it is. We wouldn't. It may be, as he mentions here, it may be any of these. I started to enumerate some of my own, but you can't get better in the Bible. Right, here's the list. Fornication. Temptation to have sexual relations outside of marriage. There may be someone that's just eaten up with it. You feel like you wouldn't even want anyone to know. It's a quiet thing. Let's not mention it. Especially in the house of God, right? Here's where we're holy. Friends, we are sinners. And here is a sin that's tempting. Uncleanness. He's simply looking at the thought, perhaps, of maybe the physical desires, but now the thoughts of the mind or an inordinate affection. Could be for anything. There are those who want something so bad, they're going to go after it, they'll do anything for it, and you don't want people to know about it. And then he continues, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Whatever sin it is, in Christ, the work he did on the cross, it cleanses us and purifies us, yes, even you. No matter what sin it is, Christ died for his people's sins on the cross. Now, I attempted to show you this morning, you'll never measure up. You're not going to get your life together. You're not going to get pure enough. You can feel good about everyone else. Just throw in the towel and say, I only have hope in Christ. In fact, I would say, believe upon him because you cannot believe in yourself. Just turn and view that Christ paid the price. And rest by faith in what he accomplished. Because when he finished it on the cross, it was finished. And sin was paid for. And you're cleansed from that sin. You say, I feel so impure. You are by nature, but not in Christ. There's a great difference between guilt and a sense of having a despair or a sense of grief. Christ paid the price. Guilt is gone. You may have a lot of remorse. You may have a great degree of self-condemnation. You may have a great degree of grief for what your life been. So be it. But your guilt is gone. In Christ. Sorry about that. No matter what sin it is. I don't care how men look at you. I don't care who said what to you. It's like a leper cleansed. No longer a stigma. No longer an outcast. Christ would hug the leper. Christ embraces his people, sinful though they be. Friends, it's a new day. There's a new sheriff in town. That's right. The world has a lot of condemnation upon people for this, that, and the other. We measure all kinds of sins. There's a new sheriff in town. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's measured you. You found wanting. You're a goner. But in him, you are cleansed. That's your identity. What are you claiming your identity today? You know, when I ride an airplane, depending on my disposition that day, I have different identities. Yeah. I mean, there are times I'm just tired. They'll say, what do you do? So, if I'm going to Atlanta, maybe I'm going there to preach, you know. But if I'm going there and I just don't want to talk, I just say, oh, I'm going to see my kids. And that kind of ends the conversation. So I've been up all night, you know, think I'm going to catch a nap. But I might say, if I was feeling real evangelistic, you know, I'm a preacher, you know. I'm carrying the good news, you know. Have you ever heard of Christ? You know, something like that. What's your identity today? What is your identity? When you meet someone, how do you react? How do you react? How are you holding yourself up before others? Is it who you are? Is it what you've done, past, present, or future? Or is it who you are in Christ? Now, this first thought is just the scope of this newness. It reaches anybody, anywhere, at any time, when they've come to the end of themselves and they say, Christ is my only hope. It's a new day for you. I'm telling you, the world can continue to go south. It probably will. Troubles can get greater. Probably will. Luxuries and the things in life may continue to be harder to come by. They probably will. But there's newness in Christ. That's right. Every day can be new. That's what was a promise in the Old Testament. It's new in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Well, the scope, it reaches everybody. Let's then notice not only the scope, but the sense of the message actually bringing a new, not just the newness as far as the scope of the message, but just the newness of the message itself. And we'll close with this. The newness of the message is contrary to the world. We continue to read in Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. When Jesus was entered in Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him, and said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word, and the servant shall be healed. And I'm a man under authority, and having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to this man, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed him, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you, that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And this servant was healed. And his servant was healed from the selfsame hour. There were those that followed their own works. There were those that followed their own ways. There were those that followed trying to make up their own pride, make up their own sense of confidence. But here's a man, And he is a man that could be proud, could be a sense of man that, you know, because he was in centurion, and he said to this servant, go, and he goes, and this servant, come, and he comes. In other words, here was a man that could have self-confidence, but instead his confidence was in Christ. And he said, just say the word, and he'll be healed. And the Savior said, I've not found a faith like this. A faith that's not in self, but a faith that actually sees who I am and what I can do. And then he makes the contrast. And that's why I'm saying we're just looking at the newness of the message. We looked at the newness in the sense of our blessing in Christ, the scope of it. In fact, if we went back into Colossians and read the second list of sins there, and maybe this is not the wisest thing to do, but I'm going to run and get it just quickly, and then I'll jump back where I was. But if it's not that first list of sins, here's a second list in verse 8 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Anger, wrath, and malice, and blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lie not one to another, all those things we heap upon ourselves, but it's a new day. It's a new day in Christ. But now back to this thought. So the Savior said, here's the newness of the message. He said the newness of the message is just simply this. It's so new that the children of the kingdom are cast out. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, those that were tempting to follow them in the law, are cast out. But those that are believing in the Lord Jesus Christ are in. Are in. And again, this is kind of a capstone what we were touching on this morning. So where's your trust this afternoon? Where is your belief? Where is your rest? We're prone to look at our sin. We've said, okay, Christ's work covers any sin. And now here's the message. And it's such a new message that it actually makes the twist on whether we're in the kingdom or we're not in the kingdom. And here it is. Our faith is in what he has done. Yeah, the centurion said, all you have to do is speak the word. All you have to do is speak the word and I'll be healed. He said, what are you saying, Brother Dickie? This is what I'm saying to you this afternoon. Do you know what you need? Do you know what I need? Do you know what everybody needs? We need the Lord Jesus Christ to speak the truth of the gospel into our hearts and we'll be totally new. I mean, massage it down in, knead it down in. So it's no longer I'm thinking of myself. I'm thinking of what parents think of me. I'm thinking of what spouse thinks of me. I'm thinking of what the community thinks of me. We're all there. We are. Everybody's worried about what the world's thinking about Christians now. We are. So what are they going to do to us? What's going to happen? How's it all going to turn out? Every man dances around his wife because he's afraid what she's going to think of him. I mean, it's that way. By nature, you know. Everybody's concerned what the preacher's thinking about them. Yeah. I mean, they'll talk about things over here, and the preacher shows up. You know, I sat down at the kids' table at lunch. I didn't want to talk to anybody, to be quite honest with you. So I just sat down with the kids. And there were some sighs. They thought, oh, boy, the preacher showed up. That's the way we are. We're all about thinking. No, the message is, if Christ speaks into our heart, I'm talking about speaks the gospel. He speaks to us in regeneration and we have new life. Now we're talking about this new life put on, this new living, this being enlivened, this living in the reality that we have. And when he speaks into our heart, one time Mike Goins was preaching the church I pastored in Georgia. We were all glued to what he was preaching, I guess. Suddenly there was a thunderstorm and a crack of lightning that split a red oak about this big around right down the middle. It went down. The lights went out. He was preaching on the omnipotence of God. God spoke. It was totally different. A couple of weeks ago at Oak Hill, 10 weeks ago, I talked about when the coin drops. You know, you have this vending machine, right? You have an item you want and you put in your coin. Nothing happens. What do? I can tell you what I do. I kick, scream, cuss, and carry on and shaking that thing until the coin drops. And I get my item. Has the coin dropped in your heart? I mean, has the gospel been delivered deep into your soul so that it really has made a difference? I can tell you how it is in another way. We haven't got a dog named Ginger. Charlotte said, when you let Ginger out, there's a space between us and the back gate. She said, if you don't follow Ginger to the back gate, she'll run away. Fine. All these rules by this woman I'm married to. It's my dog too. I'll take care of the dog the way I want to take care of the dog. So I open the door. I don't follow the dog to the gate. And the dog runs to the front yard. And the dog's gone. And I have to ask my wife for help to find the dog. That's not good. What's the point of that? I got it. You do follow the dog to the back gate. What's my point? Have you got the gospel? I'm serious. Have you got it or you just know it? Has it got you? It's Christ who died for my soul. For every sin I've ever committed or ever will commit. And it's His blood on the Christ. And He said, it's finished. I'm not holding against you. You're free in me. And the message here to the centurion was, he trusted and went forward in that fact. And the Savior said, those that think they're in the kingdom because of how well they're doing, how great they are, and they can do super things, and they're God's gift to the planet, they were even put out. And the centurion that had faith in what Christ could do, he was in the kingdom. And I'm telling you, friends, the kingdom's still on this planet. The kingdom's still ruling. The kingdom's still reigning. And the king is still on his throne. And God's children can still be delivered from their sense of guilt and wrath and self-condemnation and intimidation and being all so connected to this world and what everybody's thinking and what's going to happen to us. We are the children of the King of Glory. He created this world, right? He saw our fall, but He didn't leave us there. He redeemed us in Christ, and He's taken us to glory, and nothing is going to separate us from His love. He will land us on yonder shore, and this world is going to be made new, and we're going to live with Him forever. And I'm telling you, we need to live on in that truth, and like the centurion, have faith that what he says is going to happen. And we need not be afraid. We just need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the newness of this message. You're new in Him. So get going and act like it. God bless you. I thank you for the time.